The ABCs of Attraction presents JT Tran, the Asian Playboy, exposing the myth behind why Asian guys can't date white women. With yours truly, William, the Better Asian Man. Chapter 1. So, yes, why can't Asian men date white women?
Well,
in summary.
In summary, first of all, I want to say that this is actually something of a myth. I mean, there is some truth to it, but it's also false. Let me give you recently, like these past 2 weeks alone, I've actually been getting these emails from women, as well as Facebook. Like this one woman, you know, smoking hot blonde, apparently from all the way from like Indiana or Iowa, one of those lovely corn-fed Midwestern states, reached out to me because she found out my video, and she's this, like I said, the smoking hot blonde who is dating this Asian guy. And let me read what her message says. It's like, hey, thanks for the links. I love reading all this stuff. Her name is Brooke. So imagine a lovely Brooke. After dating and being around my boyfriend, who's Asian, and his friends and family for the past 16 months, I can so understand the things that you write about and the girl wrote about. Coming from a small town that is primarily white has been interesting for me dating an Asian guy for the first time. People in small town Iowa honestly act as if I'm dating a whole nother breed of human being. They all imagine he must be a fob like the nail guys in her town. The nail guys. Oh, geez. It is so sad. I get asked the most ignorant questions all the time. I have spent countless conversations correcting the typical stereotyping. It has become a personal goal to convert all my white friends to dating Asian guys so they too can experience the Asianal sensational loving. So that's Brooke from Iowa. She's
Iowa of all places.
Yeah. Dude. Beyond that, I also got like an email I posted about this from Nicole, who she says, I would like to thank you for providing this program to Asian men and other minority men. As a white woman who only dates Asian men, it is disheartening to know that the majority of them won't even approach women of other races because they don't think they'll get anywhere because of stereotypes or racial prejudice. So,
well, that is wonderful to hear.
Yeah. So right there, I am getting a lot of female fan mail. Mm-hmm. Who are always like saying yes, like, you know, Asians are where it's at.
This is a complicated subject, right?
It is very complicated.
There is no like one answer like, okay, why are Asian men not able to do this? It's not really as simple as that. And so you're giving some perspective like, okay, this is like personal, anecdotal.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Let's go into a different aspect of that. You know, maybe you could share some more of your perspectives, things you've observed from like what's going on the internet.
Right. One of the things is, yes, I get this kind of positive fan mail from guys and from women. But also another thing is I'll get comments from Asians like, oh, you know, it's like, why are you trying to help Asian guys? What do you mean that we need help? It's like this kind of being affronted by saying that if we need help, there's something wrong. I think it's this kind of this Asian perspective of losing face or, you know, this shame, the fact that if we need help, there's something wrong. When in fact that it's very important, if there's a problem, find a solution and apply it. So I think one of the problems is, yeah, I mean, here we are, we're a minority in a different country and we're facing certain obstacles, not unsurmountable obstacles, but by our own kind of cultural proclivities, we're not going out there and fixing it or like improving ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So, and there really theoretically should be no dignity lost in asking for help. There should be no feeling of dignity lost, but you know, that's not the Asian way. Like it's supposed to be shameful to ask for help.
Exactly. I mean, they've done studies where they believe Asian Americans have like higher rates of like mental symptoms, like disorders, sickness, as well as like physical, you know, not going to doctors. So we're like underreported when it comes to seeking help from either like, you know, health professionals as well as mental health professionals. Mm-hmm. And there should not be this kind of stigma, but unfortunately we do that. And so, especially in the dating, there is definitely that kind of also kind of emotional stigma that if you have to seek help in this regards, then there's something, I guess, extra wrong with you. When in fact that you know, in other cultures, there's a dating tradition that gets passed down from their son, from their father to their son, their brothers to their little brothers, or their friends to them. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for us, what do our parents, what can our parents teach us about dating here in America? They can't. I mean,
well, I personally feel that in that particular area of romance, my parents and the peers in my generation have definitely let me down, man.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I mean, it's not necessarily their fault either. I totally understand. Like, my stepdad got thrown into one of those, you know, Vietnamese re-education camps. And, you know, that, you know, it is what it is. But the thing is, we have to recognize that there's a lack of knowledge, of a knowledge pool that other people have access to that we don't necessarily have. But, you know, there's that. The fact that Asians, we don't seek out help when we need it. But also on another aspect is that sometimes we see the negativity. Like, you know, yes, it exists. Yes, the racial stereotypes and biases exist in the media. But then we start to really feed onto it. Like, I get these emails all the time. Let me just read you one that actually came from London from this guy. I'll just read you an excerpt, but it came in actually today. It's like, how do you manage? We call him, I guess he's like, he calls himself Chino or something like that. Says, how do you manage to get past the bitch shields when dealing with hot women as an Asian male? There are a lot of hot women who think Asian males are just plain ugly and won't entertain being picked up by one of us, as it is an annoyance to them. You know, it's one thing for her to find you unattractive, which is not her type. It's another if she thinks you're ugly. I'm not sure how you manage to get around this kind of shield without using social proof from another hot girl to make you look good. So already right there, that fan mail. I mean, my heart goes out to this guy, but it's, you can, you know, the position that he's coming from is he believes that every single hot girl is going to find Asian men not simply just unattractive, but like negatively, like ugly. Mm-hmm. When in fact that, you know, in my experience, it's actually easier to talk to the more beautiful girls.
And mine as well.
Yeah, it's the girls that are in the middle that are a little bit tougher because they're very skeptical. But even psychologists have shown that when it comes to factors or criteria, beautiful women are less likely to use race as a way to screen you out. But what happens, and this is the actual problem, is the fact that a lot of Asian guys don't, that, you know, for lack of a better term, I call it the fuckable line, right? They don't raise their passive value to the point where they're in the, you know, the fuckable dating pool. Mm-hmm. Right? We have all these students, their facial expressions are off, their body language, their physical confidence, their fashion, their hair, all these things that would indicate to, you know, a woman that he's a sexual, confident, masculine human being. They're not working on, because obviously in Asian culture, we're doing everything other than that. We're, you know, studying, getting good grades, getting a good job, the Asian route to success, if you will.
I was working on my computer programming skills and StarCraft skills. Not exactly the most attractive or intrinsically attractive things to women.
Yeah. I mean, like in your life, remember you telling me how you did everything. You got a successful job. You did like volunteer work.
Oh yeah, like I did volunteer work because I thought, okay, if I just do this and I can be a leader in my community, then, you know, then that would be something attractive. And that still wasn't enough. So I continued to do that, and I added on to that success in my profession. And I got to the top 2% of highest paid contractors in my division where I was working. But that still wasn't good enough. So I thought, okay, you know what? Maybe if I improve my physique, then that's going to do it. And so I was doing both of the previous two and still working out, and I got pretty ripped, but that still wasn't good enough. And all of these things, which are performance, like metric based that you can measure, which is the Asian way of doing things, were not helping me. There was like some soft skill area that I needed to work on to make this work for me.
Right. I think the biggest thing an Asian guy can do is to work on these kind of sexual indicators. Like working out, that's one thing that that adds to that. There are obviously more, especially when it comes to communicating. Because as you could work out all you want, but you're still not necessarily communicating with a person.
Yeah, what my friend Albert told me, and he totally summed this up really concisely, was that he saw me as a walking contradiction. Because when he first met me, I was working out and really ripped. But at the same time, he immediately observed my lack of social skills. So when he saw that combination there, he was immediately weirded out. And there's no question in my mind that the girls I was meeting were also weirded out 10 times more.
Yeah. And I also want you to, for all the audience members, to imagine, okay, what it is to be a white girl looking from the outside to like an Asian guy. In a woman's history, all right, women form blueprints of the type of guys that she's attracted to, the type of guys that, you know, she wants to date. And for, you know, unfortunately, it's not Asians, because 90% of all, like, the white girls I've ever hooked up with, 90% of them have never dated much, you know, or kissed an Asian guy, right? Because women form blueprints. They form blueprints based off of the guy that she fell in love with, her first date, her first kiss, the guy that she lost her virginity to. And, you know, quite frankly, from a statistical point of view, we're only, what, like 3% of the population, only something like, you know, what, 6 million or something like that, all over America. So statistically speaking, there's not enough of us out there de-virginizing like white girls and black girls and Latinas.
Right.
So we have to be aware that when they look at us, you know, it's not that they're negatively perceiving us. I think that's one of the big things, especially when I reach out to this fan mail from Chino. He thinks beautiful women are negatively perceiving him when in fact they're more neutrally, okay? You know, neutrally perceiving us, which is, you know, not as good as if we were positively perceived, as if we look like Johnny Depp and she fantasizes about Johnny Depp, you know, we obviously have this kind of natural advantage. We don't. We're in a neutral position. Mm-hmm. So we have to do things that display that we are in that fuckable pool. Like you say, working out is just one step. It's not the, you know, it's not where you stop at. It's just one step. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, when a white girl looks at the type of girls that Asian men date, you know, who are the girls that Asian men date?
Asian girls.
Asian girls. I get this all the time from white girls, because they always assume that Asian men only date Asian women. I hear that like 99% of the time from white girls.
Because they look around and they'll see either Asian guys by themselves with other dudes, or with Asian girls. That's basically it.
Yeah, it's like anytime you go to like any kind of social venue, you'll see basically, you know, a huge group of us, which is fine. I mean, you know, it's typically your friends or your family. But you know, when you're in a club or bar, you're supposed to be socializing. And here it is, you know, I hate to say this, but Asians can be very clannish, very cliquish, and you have to be open. And, you know, I'm not...
Asian men, that is.
Yeah. I'm not saying that as an Asian that you have to date white girls, but again, sheer numbers dictate that, you know, we live here in America, or whether you're living in London or in Australia, there are simply more white girls out there. I mean, there are more black girls out there and Latinas out there than Asian women. So if you're limiting your options just to Asian girls, you realize that's just, again, 3% of the population. You have deselected like the vast majority of like beautiful women. And why would you do that to yourself? And the reason that is because so many Asian guys are thinking that, you know, women are perceiving them negatively, when it's more of a neutral thing. So I think a lot of guys have to move beyond that mental thinking.
I can tell you why I thought that way, and that was because just in my mind, I believed that there was no way they would be attracted to me, because if I'm seeing movies and TV shows that representing Asian males in a negative way, I just immediately assumed that those women would see me that way. Right. And when I was approaching them, I would guess that I was projecting that on them. I would even assume this guy is projecting that too. I can't prove that, but that right. was what was going on with me.
You know, I think it would be great if we had the media on our side, but the honest truth is, even if it started to change, it would not help us out in this generation. And even beyond that, if you think about it, there's always going to be new waves of Asian immigrants coming into, you know.
Absolutely. Even if every single representation of an Asian man became positive in a romantic sense, tomorrow morning, we would still, any Asian guy would still need to improve his game no matter mm-hmm. what. Doesn't matter right. how good he's perceived on a mass level.
Right.
All right, so now let's talk about some other stuff. you know, what are your thoughts on the relationship between this overall theme and question we have today, why Asian guys can't date white women, and some of the stuff that we see that's being produced by Asian production companies on the internet? Wong Fu Productions, they had that awesome Yellow Fever video. Yeah, and there's another...
It's funny, it is absolutely funny.
Yeah, all different kinds of videos inspecting different parts of this question. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, they are asking the hard question, if you will. Why is this phenomenon happening? It's not done, though, I believe, in a way that's particularly useful. As funny as and hilarious as Yellow Fever was, it didn't really provide a practical roadmap to success if an Asian guy wanted to date outside of his race, right? Other things, it's, you know, you've got all of these comedians making these observational jokes about the situation. Again, raising awareness, I totally understand. But also, again, not providing a practical roadmap to success. Mm-hmm. So it is raising awareness, but at the same time, it's not really, I feel, achieving anything that is of substantial, I don't want to say substantial value, because I think raising awareness is important. But, you know, something that a young Asian kid, you know, hitting puberty and in high school, that he can listen to or watch and use like the next day. May get a laugh at watching this Asian guy, you know, be jealous of his tall, good-looking blonde friend. But what is that, you know, what can he learn from that? All it does is sort of reinforce what he already perceives around him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move on to some other stuff. Let's take this to a more personal level. Tell me about limiting beliefs. You've had hundreds and hundreds of clients in the U.S., all over the U.S., coast to coast and abroad. Different countries. Tell me about the limiting beliefs you see and how that relates.
Well, these limiting beliefs aren't simply limited to Asian guys. A lot of guys have these. But what I feel is a recurring problem amongst Asians is, obviously, like I've mentioned and harped on before, like number one is that a lot of Asian guys feel that they're looked down upon. I'm not denying the fact that there are negative stereotypes and the media does not reflect well upon us, but it's taken to kind of this extreme where they think hot women perceive them negatively. When in fact, in my experience, and again, you guys just listen to me. I've been everywhere. I have talked to thousands of women everywhere, and I've taught hundreds and hundreds of students. All right, women are mostly neutral.
Run me through some of the cities. Give me the short list.
Oh, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, New York, Boston, Orlando, Miami, Dallas, Austin, Chicago, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Sydney, Melbourne, Brazil, you know, Rio, London, Berlin, Paris.
And you have met women in each of these cities, and you're not talking to them and collecting this information in some kind of statistical census collection way. I'm assuming you're doing this in a nightclub environment, and you're in some kind of romantic interaction with them.
Yeah, right? And we're talking about nightclub environments, very beautiful women in aggressive environments. Yeah, where what I mean by aggressive is there is an active kind of competition, this understood social competition, mating competition, where I'm competing with other tall, good-looking white guys, if you will, right, for beautiful women.
And this information and perspective that you're getting from these women, how does that come up in the conversation? And I'm asking because I want to give our audience some perspective on the way, the nature of the conversation and the context in which this is coming up. Because I think when you understand the context, then you can be able to better determine how genuine this information that you've been collecting is.
Right. Well, again, like you noted, this is not a hardcore statistical census, but I would say out of, you know, every few thousand or hundred of women I've talked to, maybe one out of 100 will be racist. All right. Most guys won't even end up talking to 100 girls, like cold approaching. That's actually somewhat rare. especially when it comes to Asian culture. So that's 1%. I mean, 1% is a very insignificant kind of probability to base your fears on, all right? You have a higher chance of walking across the road and getting hit by a car than encountering that. And secondly, I would say, you know, debriefing, as you know, quote unquote debriefing my various, you know, quote unquote conquests and girlfriends and hookup buddies and all that. Again, 90% of them, they tell me that yes, they've never been with an Asian guy and I'm their first, which is somewhat, you know, kind of astonishing to them. But they tell me it's simply because they don't think Asian guys date white women. All right, so they don't see that happening. But again, you know, if I can stick my approach, which at this point is, you know, at least 3 out of 4 times, I immediately get positive reactions. You know, last night when we were out in New York, when the students saw this, you know, I got this girl, she's like some fancy fashion editor for GQ magazine, tall, blonde, and within like 10 minutes, I had kiss closed her. All right. And there's this one Indian guy who saw me and like, oh my God, you're like Asian Playboy, you know, because he saw this and he was like astounded. But then it's, you know, just talking to her and having the right elements to display that I was Asian and male and confident and sexual. Just from the beginning, she knew that this, you know, there's that kind of sexual electrical charge going. And to be honest, yeah, you'll get rejected. But at this point, it's pretty rare. It happens. It's pretty rare. But, you know, it tends to be, if any kind of rejection happens, is really 99% of the time has to do with either it's her issue, she has a bad night, or that maybe I came in like technically off, you know? Mm-hmm.
The ABCs of Attraction presents JT Tran, the Asian Playboy, exposing the myth behind why Asian guys can't date white women, with yours truly, William, the Better Asian Man. Chapter 2. For this chapter, I'd like to dive into some stuff that people can do, if they so choose, how to correct this situation. How can you work towards this and overcome the obstacles that we discussed in chapter 1? JT, what are your thoughts on this?
Okay. Wow. Before we get into that, one other limiting belief I wanted to touch upon that quickly that we didn't get to in part one is that a lot of Asian guys are concerned, let's call it concerned, about getting like cock blocked or amogged or basically jumped by white guys when they're doing that. And I'm not gonna lie, I get amogged constantly. If I'm with a like tall white girl, beautiful blonde, I get amogged, like they come out of the woodwork. But you know, the physical confrontations and all that kind of stuff, that is a worry that, you know, 99.99% of you should never have to worry about. Yes, you will have to compete. You know, cock blocks will come. The actual physical confrontations, that's such a remote thing. So long as you go to actual nice venues and you just have the common sense to know when to de-escalate and, you know, not pursue a confrontation, you don't have to worry about it. We have so many students. I don't know what kind of girls they think they're charging that they would get jumped by like 10 like frat boys, but it's something that it's a little bit of overblown concern. Okay.
Good to know.
All right. So continuing, things that guys can do. All right. Again, I believe that there are physical and mental things that Asian guys should do to improve their chances, not only just with white girls, but black girls, Latinas, and just women in general. First of all right, stop reading, stop listening, and stop watching anything negative. All right? Stop participating in forums where you're commiserating with like your Asian, you know, peers and brothers, where you're insulting your you know, or Asian sisters. Yes, you know, I'm not gonna lie, like Asian girls, they have like one of the highest outmarriage rates of any ethnicity. But you know, again, that's kind of our fault as well. And also, you know, they're a minority living in an all white culture, right? But there are forums where these guys, they basically just spend all day just like pissing on, you know, Asian girls. All right, to me, it doesn't really matter. Okay, I don't care either way when it comes to Asian girls. I've dated a few, not a lot, but I've dated a few. I'm fine with that, but they're not my preference, all right? So stop participating on those forums. Stop participating on forums where you try to like decry the negative media stereotypes. It exists. I know. I mean, yes, I find like the phenomenon of anime movies coming over to America and they're played by white people. Yes, it's annoying. I totally understand it. Like, you can only tell I'm already getting a little bit riled up by that. Like the movie 21 and all this and that.
Last Airbender.
Yes, The Last Airbender. There's more coming. There's like Akira or something going to be played by white people. And, you know, it is what it is. Don't, if you watch this stuff, if you just read online about, you know, the negative stuff that's going on, you yourself, it's like what your thoughts become your actions, which become your habits, right? So stop feeding into the negativity. Stop giving your self-doubt and your worries fuel. So just eliminate the negative, all right? Stop worrying about that. Stop worrying about like white guys, you know, hating on you, or if you think white girls don't like Asian guys, just move on. Just stop participating in those forums. Stop reading that material and move on, all right? That's a mental thing. I like what you were doing. You have something that's positive, as proactive, instead of having what some guys have as limiting beliefs, you have self-expanding beliefs. I wanted to touch upon that.
Oh yes, what JT is referring to is that on my iPad, I have one. I have this document, word processing document, where it's not a journal exactly. It's not like a record of events or anything. It's a document entitled Self-Expanding Beliefs. And I get up in the morning and I'll just write out 5, 10, 15 of things that come off my head about stuff that I am proud of that I've accomplished or that I think I can accomplish. And I'll do the same thing at night. And that has been helping me greatly.
Can you give some examples?
Yeah, some examples. Life is wonderful. There are many reasons why someone would want to be my friend. There are many reasons why a woman would want to date me. And these are things that I did not believe prior to my transformation, taking an ABC of Attraction bootcamp, and not something I'm proud of. And I'm sure you can hear in the tone of my voice that this is some embarrassing shit, but this is what I overcame. And I started doing this, I guess, quasi-journal statement of affirmations because I wanted to cement in place in my head that, yeah, I overcame this stuff.
It's like rewiring the pessimism circuit in your head to be more optimistic.
Exactly.
Like, for example, one of the exercises we did last night when we were debriefing one of our students, this guy, he's from like Taiwan, right? Good guy, works out, you know, is going to be like a very successful doctor one of these days. But as most Asians, he has a very kind of analytical, but also kind of critical way at looking things. We all want perfect days and all our parents going to, you know, harangue us for getting like great scores and all that. Here he is like, oh, you know, I did this, but I didn't do that. And I didn't do that.
There was always a but.
Yeah. And we're telling him like, okay, for every negative thing you say, say two positive things. Like he was like, what was he saying? He like had this girl, he went direct on her, said that like she was beautiful and like sitting with her and holding her hand. And, you know, but he would say it in like this kind of negative way. It's like, oh, you know, she was, you know, she would hold my hand, but then after 5 minutes, she would take it away.
Oh.
Like, oh my. That just means like her hands were just getting sweaty, probably. Right? I mean, you know, we got to reprogram.
I remember that conversation last night, and I tried to ask him to be able to just say two positive things. He could not say two positive things in a row. In the middle of the second one, he would say, okay, yes, I did this good. And then I did this other thing good, but, and then it would just go on. And he just couldn't do it. That's how powerful our minds are.
Yeah. And that's why it's important to always just to reprogram yourself. If you're a very pessimistic person, or it doesn't even necessarily pessimistic, it's just you're someone that's always critical about yourself. All right. If your parents were critical and they forced you to be like a type A personality, to always strive for the best. And that's a great personality trait, to be the best. But when it comes to women, there's no, you can't get scored. You can't get like 100 out of 100, right? There's no like straight A's when it comes to being confident and successful with women. So yeah, the biggest thing is mentally start to reprogram yourself. Avoid the negative stuff, all right, and seek out positivity. Okay, not only the things you watch, you read, but also in the people that you hang out with and what you tell yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then there's let's going to the physical. Let's talk about fashion. Fashion is important, guys. All right. And I say this because a lot of guys, we would love to be tall, dark, and handsome. But as I always say, I can settle with being short, stunning, and smooth. All right. Just because you're good looking or not good looking doesn't mean you can't get women. Women care about the effort that you put into looking good. All right. That's what they want. And that is just as equally as effective as being good looking. We're not all going to be tall. We're not all going to be good looking. All right. But we can be confident. We can look physically confident and we can look good. All right. I mean, girls approach me, and as many of my various commenters and haters, they're like, well, you're 5'6", you're slut, you know, you're a little bit chubby and you're ugly. Well, yeah, that's also why my students are so happy, because I may not be physically attractive, but apparently women like to talk to me and they like to kiss me and they like to approach me. So I'm doing something right, guys.
They like to do other things with you.
Yeah. I mean, you do not have to be good looking to get women. It's great. I mean, if you have that natural advantage, by all means, use it. But as like, you know, this boot camp, we had a student that was literally 6'2", Chinese, tall, good looking kid. But he, you know, throughout his life, he had, because he was raised in an all white neighborhood, and he had like certain like identity, confidence issues. He didn't have the skills, right? So just because you're good looking doesn't mean you will naturally have these skills. So work on your fashion. Okay, they say a woman spends typically, I read this recent study that came out of like London, I believe. What women spend about 78 minutes putting on makeup, doing their hair. Like their hair alone is like 20 minutes of work. Okay, so ask yourself, how many minutes do you spend looking good? All right, because imagine a woman looking at you, and if you're just a slob, if you just look homeless, all right, you spend less than 5 minutes on yourself. What does that indicate to her? That you, I mean, how much time and effort would you lavish upon her if you're not going to treat yourself, you know, better than 5 minutes? Like, really? All right, so work on hair. Hair is very important. It's a huge sexual indicator. I always tell this joke to my students is, how are men like snowstorms? Right? You don't know how many inches you're going to get. You don't know how long it'll last. Right? So women are looking at you as potential lover or boyfriend or husband material. One of the important things is, how good are you going to be in bed? Now, can't tell, because you know, it's that's a totally like kind of subtle characteristic. But secondary signs is, you know, not only your good looks and your muscles, but also your fashion and your hairstyle. And I've noticed this is when I've let my hair, as you call it, what phase?
Helmet hair.
my helmet hair phase. When I just I didn't really care about my hair. I just kind of like, you know, instead of like getting my hair cut like every 2 weeks or every month, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to grow it out and not really do anything with it. What I noticed, it was actually a little bit more difficult to gain women, to talk to them, because I did not get as many positive reactions from women as opposed to when I actually had really good hairstyle. All right. So hair, work on hair, because trust me, women see that and you will get a significantly better reaction. All right. In Japan, I always pronounce the term incorrectly. So for our Japanese listeners, forgive me. There's this rite of passage for, you know, for boys growing into men. It happens when you're like 13. This is like medieval times, I believe. And the Japanese term is like jinkuku, something like that. You can look it up. And what they would do is they would take these boys and they would do three things. All right. First, they would give the boy a man's name. You lose like the little childish nickname, okay? You're referred to as a man, okay? That's one. Then step two is they get rid of your boy's clothes, okay? You no longer wear what you wore in like middle school and high school and all the like the Gap and Banana Republic and all that kind of stuff. You get rid of that and you're given men's clothing. Okay. Sexual, powerful, like men's clothing. And third, they cut your boy's hair and give you a man's haircut. All right. So things that you can do is if you don't know what to do with your hair, obviously you should ask around, maybe ask some of your female friends or ask a hairstylist. But probably the coolest generic Asian hairstyle, all right, if you just don't know what to do, is it's called the faux hawk. Right? Mm. Yeah. F-A-U-X hawk. It's like the mohawk, but not as extreme. And you can have the faux hawk and also wear it to work. Like William here is a great example. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I have a convertible hairstyle. It's a faux hawk when I want to put the hair up. But it's long enough, just barely long enough, that I could actually use hair wax or gel and come it over.
How long is your hair currently right now?
I have no idea.
I would say something like 4 inches. So, like I said, it's at the point where it's long enough to basically stick up, but also when, you know...
when I need to look nerdy for the office, then I comb it down.
Exactly. And let's talk about a little bit about hair product. A lot of guys don't know what to do with their hair. All right, first of all, if you're using gel, throw it away. All right, dump it. All right, the too many guys are doing like the Dragon Ball Z haircut or like the Marine haircut or the penis head haircut. All those kind of like old like 80s, 90s Asian haircuts that weren't cool in the 80s or 90s to begin with.
They're still not cool.
Yeah, they weren't cool then and they're not cool now. So get rid of it. Get rid of the gel. If you have it, throw it away right now. So products that you can use is Defy. That's one. D-I-F-I. It kind of smells like a margarita in a way. It has a pineapple-y smell.
But pineapple-y. There's also another one that's like a little coconutty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one. I like to use Garnier Fructis Surf Hair.
Okay. I also have Sculpte. S-C-U-L-P-T-E. Similar to Defy. But it also smells, this one smells more like a cool, refreshing cologne. So I'll use that as well. On the question of hairspray, if it's less than 4 inches, there's no real reason to use hairspray. I use it only when I decide to grow up my hair really long. You can do some really cool stuff with it. But for the most part, most guys don't need to worry about it. What else about it? Oh, you can do color. I don't really like the brown. I see a lot of like Japanese and Korean tourists that have that. And I don't think it looks attractive at all. That's my opinion. It's, you know, I think it marks you as, what would it be the term, William?
Effeminate?
No, I don't even think it's effeminate. It's just, it's it, like you're, you know, I guess I'm looking for the term because it's more than just, a fob. It's someone that's just not really in tune with like cultural or fashion levels, right? But apparently a lot of Koreans and Japanese, they have that. They come over and like looking at them, you know for a fact that they're foreigners, right? And then when we're talking about foreigners, we're talking foreigners in a more negative sense, because it doesn't have that correct level of fashion sense where it's cool and it's edgy and it's sexy. Here it looks like, okay, they just kind of, instead of being like all kind of drone like guys that all wear the same thing, now they're just gonna dye their hair brown and look all drone in the same thing, generic clone just with brown hair. Right? Blonde, I've done the blonde thing. I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with it. I would not, for God's sake, dye your entire head blonde. That's a little bit extreme, and that's I don't know, that's a little bit too much for me. But I've seen some Asian guys pull it off, but not too many. I think if you can do anything, whether it's brown or blonde, streak it. All right. I'm not necessarily talking like frosted, but streaks to add you some color. I like red. I've been doing what I call the blood hawk since about 2005, 2006, even though it's unfortunately becoming very popular in the PUA community now. And I was like, okay, fine. Like, everyone has been copying my hairstyle. But I like it because it's very noticeable. And the color red itself is something that psychologists have found that you're considered more confident, you're considered more sexual, and people approach you more when you're wearing something red on you. So speaking of red, let's talk a little bit about fashion. Every time I go to like an Asian party and I see all these Asian men who are all standing off to one side of the bar or the house, it's like the Great Wall of China men. And they're all wearing the same color scheme, which is like black and gray. They obviously shopped at like Banana Republic and Armani Exchange. Mm-hmm. One of the things we tell our guys is, okay, get rid of as much black and gray. Do not wear black and gray. You know, it's okay to wear in moderation, but Asians, it's like our school uniform, right? So like white,
it doesn't stand out.
Yeah. White, red, blue, you know, pink. If you think you can pull that off, those colors, those vibrant colors. And part of that is, if we want to get all very scientific here, there are in your eye these things called rods and cones. And I forget specifically which one that women have more of, whether it's rods or cones. But what they have more of is the receptors that allow them to detect colors more vibrantly than, say, men. What we have allows it to detect motion. Right? Like motion is like we can be able to go out there and hunt and kill animals, right? For them, it's about being able to detect if, evolutionary speaking, to detect if their child is sick. You know, is it the nice kind of rosy pinkish yellow, or is it like, you know, pale and like sickly? Or like picking like fruits and berries, all right, things of that. And they say like green, beige, red are very vibrant colors that women detect are more highly, you know, detectable than as men. So throw some color in. When it comes to fashion, don't throw in more than three colors in your outfit. I typically say there are two primary colors and one accessory color. If you want to, let's say, just start off as very conservative, for those of you guys that are just experimenting with more advanced fashion, let's keep it simple. Like, it could be like a white shirt, like black jeans, and maybe like a red tie or red handkerchief or something like that. So two primary colors and then something that accessorizes. Add something vibrant that a girl's eye would be attracted to. Because again, our eyes are attracted to motion and big boobs and undulating, you know, buttocks. A woman will be attracted to like color. So add that, okay? And always get your clothes fitted. I see too many Asian guys wearing the things that they wore in high school. I mean, I don't know about your mom, but my mom always bought two sizes too large for me. Because
yep.
Apparently I was supposed to grow into it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm like, 32, and she's still buying me clothes that's two sizes too large. I'm like, I'm not going to grow any bigger, Mom. So did your mom do that?
Yeah, man. Dude, I think that's an epidemic in Asian society, Asian American society.
Yeah, I know that I understand the desire to save money, but too many guys are just wearing clothes that are way too big for them. Okay. What else can we talk about?
All right, I think that pretty much covers things that you can do. This is like very tactical, hardcore, definitive things that you can do in your day-to-day life. So then I think that about covers that part. I want to go to our next chat.
Oh, let's talk really.
Yeah.
Let's talk. So we've done like mental. We've talked about like fashion. How about we talk a little bit about the verbal stuff?
Oh, the verbal stuff. Oh, yeah. Let's go over that.
Yeah.
Before
I encourage guys about, depending on what you bring to the table and how much you practice and condense, 10 years of social inexperience into 2 years of trying to gain that. 6 months of indirect game, and that's because you get over your approach anxiety, you learn how to open an approach, how to talk to groups, how to hold down conversations, banter, and control a group setting. And then 6 months of direct, and what that allows you to do, it encourages you to concentrate in like masculine dominance, body language, subcommunication, and sexuality. And then 6 months combining that, and then a final 6 months of lifestyle. All right. And that's, you know, with the ABCs of attraction, we teach both indirect and direct in a more like the holistic form. But I do want guys to, well, we can go over more about this later, but there is a difference when it comes to ABCs of attraction and, I guess, the Asian Playboy brand. Those are two distinct entities. The ABCs of attraction itself is not race-based, but Asian Playboy, my blog, that is more race-oriented. And the reason why, as Asian Playboy, if I'm teaching any of my Asian students, I will tell them that they have to practice direct game. You know, you want to get over your approach anxiety, get competent in direct, but once you're competent, you have to do direct game. There's not a single Asian PUA out there that I ever met that was any good if you still practice indirect. If you are practicing right now, you're listening to this, and you practice indirect game for more than 6 months and you think you're good, sorry, you're not. All right? The only good Asian PUAs, pickup artists, or any kind of natural Asian naturals that I've ever met are direct guys. All right? So, you know, learn it, learn indirect. Now, be competent at conversational skills and banter, but you have to be able to graduate and master direct game. It's very, very important. And some openers, things that you can use tonight, all right, we call it kamikaze. There's my adorable opener. It's called my fucking kamikaze. Totally works. Trust me, guys, this works. All right, if you have your correct subcommunication down, you're smiling and good body language, it will work 9 times out of 10. I'll go up to a girl and I'll say, "You are fucking adorable." There's a playful one. If you want to be playful and a little bit teasing, you can go up to a girl, you know, Keno Turner, and turn and smile and say, "Has anyone ever told you how beautiful my eyes are?" All right, so they'll get a giggle. And then there's my Amazon opener. And trust me, guys, again, this has been consistently proven to work. Like such, it's like 9 times out of 10. So long as you just say it correctly with the right subcommunication, it tall girls. I love tall girls. I just do. It works. It really is magic. And I'm 5'6", and Asian Americans are generally not, you know, the average height of Asian Americans is below like the American standard. So most of the girls, if you're deselecting yourself because you say, okay, tall girls are not gonna like you, they're not gonna be receptive. All right, you're eliminating like over half the population. I'm telling you, it's not true. You just go up to a tall girl, and Keno turn, smile, make eye contact, and say, "Oh my God, you are tall and gorgeous. I love you already." Like that girl from last night, the tall blonde, who's like a, you know, fashion editor for GQ, like Kids Clothes in 10 minutes. She was about like 5'10". I mean, she was definitely taller than me. So again, 3 kamikaze openers that you can use tonight.
And there you go. That is something that you can do that's practical, that's hardcore, concrete. You could do it right now. I'm ready to go shopping and get some new clothes, man. Some fitted clothes. All right, we're going to take a quick music break. And when we come back, chapter 3, very short chapter, we're just going to go over a few items from my personal life, from JT's personal life, our personal experiences out there in the field, meeting women, and all the madness that ensues there. The ABCs of Attraction presents JT Tran, the Asian Playboy, exposing the myth behind why Asian guys can't date white women, with yours truly, William, the Better Asian Man. Chapter 3. Personal stories. I would like to share with you some of my personal experiences dating non-Asian women.
Yes, William has been embarking on an adventure. William is sort of known in our group as the Asian lover.
Oh, really? Is that it, really? Who the hell made that up?
No, you have dated like more Asian women. I think at this point you've surpassed Johnny Wolf in your success with Asian women.
Well, you know, I like Asian women. What can I say?
Shall we do a commercial now?
let's do the commercial at the end.
All right.
I wanted to share with you guys some of my personal experiences dating non-Asian women, and it's pretty enlightening, man. You know, I mean, it's one thing to hear JT talk about this, like this is his job to go out there and teach guys this stuff. I also coach, you know, but I don't really do it as much as JT does, you know. But I've gone out there and, you know, first of all, as JT had mentioned, he said that almost all of the non-Asian women that he's dated, he is usually the first Asian person they've ever dated. And I can confirm that that same thing is true in my life. You know, and some of the stuff they say is amazing to hear. Some of it not so great to hear. Like, for example, I went out on a first date with a girl who was not Asian, and within like 10 minutes of meeting up, from the point of saying, "Hi, how are you today?" she got to, "You know, I don't really date Asian guys. I don't find Asian guys attractive." You know, and for depending upon where you are in life, how mentally barricaded you are, that statement in itself could totally destroy you. I mean, for me, that like say 3 years ago, that definitely would have pissed me off if I heard that. But I was on that date, having all the perspective that I've had, I kind of understood where she's coming from, because I know why she would say something like that. But didn't matter. I wanted to go on the date. Did that. Went on a couple more dates, and you know, we romantically connected, and then at a certain point it just didn't work out. And you know, I like this person, she's really great, but I didn't want to pursue the romance any further. And I told her straight up exactly how I felt, exactly what I was saying, and I was very candid and upfront. And JT, I think you confirmed this. You can confirm this, that when I talk to girls, I'm extremely forthright, really upfront and direct.
Yes, yes.
I mean, more so than the average person.
I would say we not only in our job, but sometimes in our life, we lack that kind of like filter from honesty and deception, where it's like deception just doesn't jive with our ABC style. So, but at the same time, sometimes William, you're a little bit even honest and forthright than I'm comfortable with.
Well, so in that particular case, you know, I told her exactly how I was feeling and why, and you know, also me being the first Asian man she has ever gone on a date with, ever kissed, ever romantically connected with, fully romantically connected with, she said, "You know, William, you restore my faith in men." You know, and that is a crazy thing to hear for me, because I never heard a girl say that before, ever. Nothing like that.
Yeah, so you went from like the very beginning when you met her that she doesn't date Asian guys to you, the Asian man, restoring her faith
in all men. And I can guarantee you that any Asian guy she meets from this day forward, it's going to be different for her.
It's going to be cake. Like I say, like 90% of the girls I've ever hooked up with have never been with an Asian guy. But now William and I and all of our ABC's crew, we're trying to get that 90% down to 89%. With your help, with your help, you know, all the audience members, we can one day get it down to 89%.
Yeah, and she was like, she also said that... So initially, of course, she said, "I don't normally date Asian guys. I don't find them attractive." And then in that conversation that we had, she's like, "Yeah, you know, I'm really disappointed that we're not going to see each other anymore because I think you're really hot." And so she goes from not thinking that Asian men are attractive to thinking that I'm really hot, which is unbelievable. I'm like, still, I just can't believe it, you know?
I want to point out, a lot of guys would have taken that initial comment as kind of a hurtful statement. Like you said, 3 years ago, you would have taken it that way.
Oh, hell yeah. And then that would have permeated every conversation I had with her from that point forward.
Yeah. But you followed through. And I think guys have to realize this, and the fact that when a girl says something like that, unless she's like from the deep south and she's wearing like a Ku Klux Klan white robe, it probably isn't like an absolute racist or prejudicial thing. Maybe she's like, you know, that kind of attitude has, you know, media has permeated it, but it's not truly meant as like a negative sense of the word. Again, we're thinking more of as a true neutral. Like, you don't have negative points, but you don't have positive points. You're in a true zero neutral, zero state.
I definitely now I think that was neutral. I mean, in her world, that is reality.
Yeah.
She even also told me on the first date, or maybe it was the second date, that one of her friends had dated an Asian guy, and that she had officially sworn off Asian guys because of that experience, because of his size. And when I heard that, I knew immediately, 3 years ago, I would have definitely gone off on this chick. you know, but I didn't do that. I just accepted and I listened to her. Yeah.
I think, guys, if you can understand the issues from a woman's perspective, point of view, you'll be better off. So I want you guys to imagine this. Okay, this girl, all right, she's saying yes to meet a stranger on some random place. She's already taken a risk, all right? So here she is. She's embarking on this kind of like pseudo initial stages of a relationship with an unknown element. And every other kind of information that she has at her disposal says that this is the task that is bound to failure. Or it's just like going to be a lot more difficult. That's what information that she's received in her history says. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from her perspective, she has to test, okay? You know, she's saying yes. You know, William here is aggressive and confident enough and dumb enough to go for it regardless. All right. What do you do? And, you know, in her, what that statement is could be what we call like a shit test, right? She's testing your confidence. Are you really that confident? All right. So it's called a shit test and pick up terminology, pick up parlance. And if you were to use this analogy for people to understand why they're doing it and how it actually works, is imagine that you come across a rope, okay, suspended, and that you have to climb this rope. You know, you look up and it appears like it's attached to something at the top of a cliff, but you need to get to the top of the cliff. What is your first thing that you do as a human being? You pull on the rope. You test it. You don't actually just start climbing it with blind faith. And just because you think, okay, we're all human, that we shouldn't be like prejudiced or anything like that. This girl who has never dated an Asian guy, all right, never dated an Asian guy, and all of her friends and all of society and media says Asian guys aren't that great. You know, she's giving you a chance, but you know, this is your chance. And she's going to shit test you to see, are you safe to climb on top of? Right?
Figuratively and literally.
All right. And William, you passed it. And congratulations to you. Congratulations for you, you know, taking this girl's Asian man's V card.
Thanks. You know, and some of you out there might be thinking, but you know what? If I would have been in that situation and I'm hearing this stuff, I would have been going nuts inside. William, what did you do when she was saying these things that are potentially very disparaging? What did you do? The answer to that question is, I just listened. I sat there and listened. I allowed her to first say those initial sentences, which could potentially be harmful, and I just allowed her to continue and share her perspective. Why? Why does she feel this way? You know, because I knew intrinsically, I knew in the back of my head, I was so sure about this, whatever the hell she's going to say from that point forward after she said, my girlfriend said Asian guys have small whatever, I knew that whatever she's going to say has nothing to do with me. It's some other person, and she probably suspected that I'm not going to have any problems fulfilling her emotionally, you know? And so I just listened. That's what I did. And I would encourage you to do the same thing if you get in that situation. And then after you listen, then you go on and you continue and share about yourself.
Sometimes the small penis stereotype will come up, unfortunately. It's happened a few times in my entire life. But remember, it's a few times in my life when we were talking about like thousands of women. So the percentages are small, but it's happened. And I believe you actually came up with a great response. Let's say she's making a statement, but in a more aggressive manner, as opposed to like neutral, where she's testing your confidence. In this case, she says, oh, you know, I thought Asians have small penises. Like, do you have a small penis? And I think, William, you came up with like the best response. Remember?
Oh, you're curious about it, aren't you?
Yeah, you're thinking about my penis, huh?
Yeah, and so once you inject that visual imagery into her head, then, you know, it makes your life that much easier.
Yeah.
And besides, by the time the clothes are off, do you think anybody really cares? I mean, because at that point, you have so much attraction built up. Is it going to matter? I personally don't think so. It's never been a problem for me, but whatever. All right, so I'm done sharing my personal perspectives. Hey, JT, you know what? Before we go, why don't you just spend a minute? You could cover any last points or plug any last things you wanted to plug.
All right, well, we want to thank William, Better Asian Man, for having me on his show for this special edition. Why can't Asian guys get white girls? The myth, the truth, and the myth of it all. Like I said, hopefully we were able to give you some practical advice from real life experience of teaching around the world, right? And, you know, there's a lot of resources available to you. There's no reason why you can't be successful, right? You just have to go out there, you know, you research the problem, find the solution, and apply the solution. There's no reason why any of you guys right now cannot become the man that you're always destined to be that successful, not only just with women, but in life in general. So if you're Asian, by all means, contact us at the ABCs of Attraction. I have a blog as well that is just, you know, almost 1,000 posts of free advice. So you can give us a call at 1-888-689-GAME or go to our website, www.abcsofattraction.com.
This has been a presentation of the ABCs of Attraction. For more information, visit www.abcsofattraction.com. That's www.abcsofattraction.com.